From beautiful Orlando, Florida, it's blindbargains.com coverage of ATIA 2019, brought to you by AFB Access World. For the latest news and accessibility information on mainstream and access technology, Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon offerings, access technology book reviews and mobile apps, and how they can enhance entertainment, education, and employment, log on to Access World, the American Foundation for the Blind's free monthly online technology magazine, www.afb.org/aw. Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
ATIA 2019 in Orlando. I'm here with Jason Greaves. He's a product manager for Low Vision Windows Accessibility at Microsoft. Jason, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much. Excited to be a part of it.
Now, we could do about 50 different Microsoft podcasts because you guys are doing so many things. Your focus is low vision. Tell us a little bit about what you do at Microsoft.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the biggest things we want to do is really make accessibility easier to discover, learn, and use. And when we think about how do we do that in the low vision space, you know, we want to make windows easier to see. And, you know, traditionally we think about magnification. And really my job is definitely to make magnification better, but really to think about how do we help lots of different people. And for me, it's been a real journey. I am low vision, and so I can relate to the things that, you know, affect me and the things that I use. But I've been really learning about a lot of people and kind of their visual impairments.
Right. How long have you been working with Microsoft now?
Well, I rejoined Microsoft about a year ago. And before that, I was at a startup. And then previously, I was at Microsoft for about 8 years. So I joined in 2008, actually, on accessibility in Windows.
Sure, of course. You know, in a general sense, the paradigm and the philosophy of Microsoft has changed quite a bit where, you know, Narrator and Magnifier have always been around, but they've kind of just been this thing. But of course, that's changed over the past few years. How has Magnifier changed in more recent years?
Yeah, so when I joined, and even, you know, as I was growing up in the 90s, like Magnifier and Narrator were tools to install other tools. They really were part of Windows to help you get the other things that you need. Really, since Satya has become the CEO, and he really changed our mission to be about empowering every person on the planet and every organization on the planet to achieve more, it's really been it's like a beautiful statement to talk about accessibility. And when we were looking at that statement, we were like, that sounds like accessibility, you know, does he understand accessibility? And come to find out, you know, Satya has a child with a disability, and he totally gets the space. And so he's been a great champion for accessibility, and it's helped really kind of trickle down from the top on like why it's so important and how it can help people. And so really for the Windows accessibility team, we no longer think about just those tools to be, you know, things that can just be used to install other tools. We want to make magnification and Narrator and all the tools that we have great for all day, everyday use. And we want to be able to have them be part of things that people use on their day-to-day jobs and at home, in Office and the top applications that they use. And so that's really a journey that we've been on for about 3 years to make those tools great. And again, that's, you know, magnification, you know, we really, there's a lot of things that we need to build into it to make it useful for all day and every day. But we really also have to focus on the fundamentals. And one of the things we've really been learning is that, you know, the magnifier tool, as useful it is, it hasn't been the most performant. It hasn't been something that's, you know, really folks feel like they're not in control all the time. It feels like the magnifier jumps around on them. So for the past year, we've really doubled down on fundamentals and magnification and making sure that it's a tool that users feel like they're in control, that it's buttery smooth, that it works for them across not just Windows, but the Office applications, the web browsers. And once we kind of continue to work on those fundamentals, then we can start to build in the features that people really need to continue to be productive.
And you were telling me there are at least some new features being added as well, some with mouse movement and other things.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things we learned with magnification, one of the ways that people use magnification in other places is they really like the mouse pointer to be in the middle of the screen. And so to unpack that again, I kind of had to learn why that was, because I had never used magnification that way. So when you're using a magnifier, and most of the environments, the default experience is as you move the mouse pointer around the screen and kind of the viewport will kind of move, and then you kind of hit, we call it, to the edges of the viewport, and it'll start to move the viewport around the screen. And the problem with that kind of mode is the mouse pointer's moving all around the viewport. The viewport itself is moving all around the screen, and then content is also kind of moving. And in today's age, with the web, with dynamic content and videos playing automatically, there's so much going on. And so we've created this mode where the mouse pointer, as you move the physical mouse, the mouse pointer will stay in the center of the screen. And that provides kind of two really nice experiences. The first is because it's always in the middle, you don't have to be looking for it. Which is great even for me, even though I don't have peripheral vision loss. Now I just know I can bring controls to the mouse pointer.
Right.
And then the other piece is, because there were so many moving pieces, now there's a stable part in that experience. The mouse pointer is always in the middle. So now I can just, again, focus on moving the viewport and the content. And I don't have to kind of see this mouse moving all around the screen.
I assume it's the type of feature that you can use a keyboard shortcut or a gesture to turn on and off pretty quickly? Or?
There's so you can jump right to the, there's a, it's Win, Control Win, and the M key will bring you right to magnifier settings. And there's just a quick toggle to turn that on and off. So we haven't flipped a keyboard shortcut for that. But we're very open to doing those type of things.
One of the things also that you're talking about, and, you know, so many different types of low vision, you know, different types of visual acuities of people. Tell me a little bit about what you've done with font sizes.
Yeah. So the when I joined the company back into the space, one of the things, you know, we had done as an organization is, you know, we've been trying to build what we call kind of a modern experience. And so Windows 8 was part of this journey to become modern. And in becoming modern, the company's made some, you know, sometimes tough trade-offs about what it used to be like and what the new experience is. One of the old things that we used to let people do is be able to change the text size of things like title bars and lists, text in lists. And since Windows 8, we've kind of had these options buried pretty far into the settings experience. And then about a year and a half ago, the team actually removed these because they only worked in some classic places like File Explorer, the desktop. And thanks to the community, we had 8,000 people in Windows Feedback say, no, these are really useful options. And it really was the community that drove myself and the team to say, hold on a second, right? What did we do here? Did we remove something that people really use? And why did they use it? Because I didn't personally use them. I had always used a technology called DPI scaling. As an engineer, I kind of know what it means, but it's basically a way that will make everything on your screen bigger. And so you can change DPI's dots per inch. And so you can increase everything on the screen to make it bigger. And I had used that technology, but I never used these kind of advanced ways to make text larger.
Right, and maybe they just want certain parts of the screen to...
Yeah, it's very much, you know, when I started to unpack the feedback, it was really eye-opening because folks were saying, look, you know, DPI is useful in that it makes everything larger, but the truth is what most people need to be able to see is the text. The text is the hard thing to read. And so DPI making everything bigger, great, but text is the thing that people need to be able to see. And often, for those of us that are low vision, we're kind of balancing two things. We want to be able to make it bigger and easier to see. But as you make things bigger, you're generally making things, you know, scroll more, or you're having to pan a lot more. And maybe you're losing some of the content areas. And so with text scaling, text sizes, you can kind of optimize a little bit more where if there's things on the screen that don't have text, maybe they're just boxes or white space, you don't necessarily need all of that extra white space to get bigger. You really just need the text to get bigger. So it was really great to read the feedback on that. Another big point was that DPI scaling technology is hardware dependent. So, you know, again, living in the Seattle area, we may have screens and graphics cards that let us change the DPI scale significantly. Other folks didn't have very many options. So they could increase the DPI a little bit, but they were using those text sizing options to go significantly larger.
Are you able to take the text sizing options as you re-implemented the feature and make it work with more modern apps and Windows apps?
Yeah, exactly. You got it. So we like to say we brought that feature back with a vengeance. So, you know, we talked about it was buried deep in the settings. So what we decided to do was bring it into what we call ease of access settings.
Yep.
So we have ease of access. And, you know, in ease of access, we now have these things grouped together, and there's a vision category at the top. And the very first page is about display and making things easier to see on your display. And this is where we've traditionally had that DPI technology, and we had called it make everything bigger. And that's, again, some of the frustrations with that was the limited options, and it was very, you know, you could go in 25, 50% increments, but it was hard to get it kind of perfect. So we took this these kind of classic text sizing options, and we've actually added them to the top of the screen, and it says make text bigger. And, you know, we, one of the things we wanted to do was make it an easy to use experience. So just like on a lot of phones today, there's a simple slider to make text bigger. It's exactly what we've done on Windows Desktop. There's a slider now to increase your text in 1% increments all the way up to 225%. And to your point, we definitely do set kind of the classic stuff, but we've also made it work in all of the modern applications, what we call the Windows applications, and it works in places like Start Menu Now, in Action Center, and the really cool part is we've enabled this to be accessible to third parties. And we worked with Google, who actually implemented this text sizing option into their Chrome browser, into Chromium, actually. So it works in Chromium applications now, and it works in the Chrome browser. So the text gets larger there. Their Chrome, literally their Chrome in their browser, where the address bar is and the buttons, that text is also getting larger. So
it's not just limited to Microsoft apps.
Exactly. It really was one where, you know, we implemented in our own frameworks, in our own places, but to have a great consistent experience, we wanted to open it up to third parties and to third party frameworks. And so that's been really exciting to work with folks to make that happen.
How is the operability these days between a feature like that and Magnifier and Narrator and Braille, all these things? Are you able to use them all together? Do you have to pick and choose at this point?
Oh yeah, good question. So we made that text sizing feature, and one of the things that's really interesting with magnification, you know, when you zoom in, since we've built our Windows 98 magnifier, it becomes very pixelated. The text becomes very pixelated. And one of the things we built about a year ago was a way to smooth out the text. So it's not where it needs to be, but it helps a little bit to make the text look better and can reduce eye strain. Well, the cool thing about this text sizing option is because you can increase it to 225, you know, that's roughly 2x. You know, for me, when I would use magnification, I would sometimes use it at 3, 3.5x. And so I, on all my Windows machines now, I increase the text size all the way up to the max. When I use Magnifier now, I don't have to use it quite as high of a magnification level. And the text looks much better. It's a lot crispier because the text was originally getting bigger. It actually looks better in magnification because we don't have to zoom in quite as much and we don't have to make the text basically as pixelated. And so the text sizing feature works really nicely with Magnifier. And then the other thing we did, it's an update that's going to come in the spring, is, you know, we made the text bigger, and then we noticed the mouse pointers were really small and hard to see. And so, you know, we're working on an experience to make those mouse pointers larger, as well as be able to change the colors.
What about using magnification or text sizing with speech? Is there the combination possible at this point, or how does that all?
It is possible. I will say it's still an experience we want to make better. So today in Magnifier, when you turn it on, you can also turn on Narrator. And what we do is with by default, when you have both tools on, Magnifier will now follow what we call the Narrator cursor.
Yep.
So Narrator has a blue highlighting rectangle. Basically, whatever it's reading out, we also visually show. And now Magnifier, when you're using those Narrator commands, will actually keep what's visually on the screen in its viewport. So if you use a command to read the page, you'll actually have Magnifier follow along as Narrator's reading out, which is a good experience, and we're getting good feedback that's useful, but folks definitely want some different options and different ways to use magnification reading, so we're unpacking that as well.
One of the things I've noticed about Microsoft is you're very forward about even what's coming up in the future. A lot of companies are very guarded. You've done blog posts about here's what we're planning on doing this year. Have you done that yet for 2019, or do you have some big plans for Magnifier and other low vision tools going forward that you can talk about?
Yeah, so we haven't done our blog yet. We generally try to line that up definitely with CSUN. So we try to make sure we've got that out so we can make a splash at CSUN. Yeah, like to your point, I think one of the best things about coming back to Windows is we would generally in the past, you know, we'd build our, you know, designer experiences, we'd build them, take 2 years, and then we'd kind of push them out in a beta and kind of cross our fingers and say, well, we hope we got it right. And come to find out, we didn't get everything right. We would really mess things up and we wouldn't have a lot of time to fix it. With the new Windows Insider program, again, with Satya really pushing to be open and connect with customers, we can talk more freely about what we're building. We can get feedback. And so the Insider program has really been helpful for us to understand, are we on the right track and what bugs do we have and what things should we make better? So on the, you know, in the low vision space, the 2019, the next update that will come will include, I kind of mentioned these new mouse pointer options. So we've always had some very old school. I think we've had them in even since Windows 98, maybe 2000, but you could make your mouse a little bit bigger. You could change it from, you know, white to black. And there was kind of an interesting inverted one. But right. folks have been very passionate about, you know, it's really hard to see even at the biggest mouse pointer size. It's hard to even see when it's large, because whether it's white or black, you know, when you're on like a web page, like Wikipedia or something, or a Word document, it's white and black. You know, all the background's white, the text is black, and the mouse pointer kind of gets lost. I think my favorite quote is people talk about it being a sea of white and black, and so your mouse pointer gets lost in that sea. So we've added new mouse pointer colors. And so these mouse pointer colors, we actually worked with a PhD that understood how to build the best highlight colors. So now we have, I think it's 8 new mouse pointer highlight colors. And while we were designing it, we're like, these are great. We think they're going to be really useful. But there may be people that just want to have their own color. They may want to pick their own custom color. So in addition to the new 8 highlight colors, customers can also pick their favorite.
Hey, cool.
Yeah, and so that's those are some of the big things we're doing on the low vision side. The other part with Magnifier, you know, we introduced this new center mouse mode. And again, even though we introduced it, it was a great new feature, some of the feedback was still, hey, it's nice and it stays in the middle, but it still feels like Magnifier is a little jumpy and it's, you know, can you guys just continue to work on the performance? And so in this release, we work very closely with teams within Windows to make the Magnifier, again, our goal is buttery smooth, right? It should just be a tool that works consistently. It doesn't jitter. It doesn't jump all over the screen. So we've done additional behind the scenes work to just make it a really smooth magnification experience.
And lots more coming up in the future, I'm sure.
Lots more in the plan. Yep, lots more coming. Nothing other than that in the low vision side to announce. Narrator's had some great improvements.
And we'll definitely cover that sometime soon as well.
Perfect.
One of the other people from Microsoft. There's a million ways people can give feedback, ranging from just some casual sending you a note to getting in the Insider program and running the new beta. So what's the best ways for people to contact you guys?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, and like I said, the features we build are because of people and their needs and the things that they really care about. The best way to give feedback that I always say is the Windows Feedback Hub. There's a lot of ways to get into it. I usually tell people, you know, hit the Windows key and F, and that will bring up the Feedback Hub. It's also in the Start menu as a name Feedback Hub. And through there, you can really, it's just a quick process of typing your feedback. And when you pick the category, accessibility, it comes directly to our team. We have a part of our team is called Data and Insights. It's a group of folks that work to connect with customers even more than me as a program manager that I do. And they check every single feedback hub that's coming through, and they start to understand, you know, are there trends? Are there things that people are frustrated about that we can really help fix? That's one way. The other big one is, you know, we very much care about your feedback. If you're on Twitter, you can tag us. MS Enable is a big one that people will kind of tag. And so that one's one. Every morning we get a report of folks that are tagging MS Enable or other accessibility Twitter handles with
the handle is MSFT.
Feedback. Sorry, thank Enable. You. Yes, MSFT Enable. Yep. Thank you. Yep, and that's one every morning. It's so cool to see, you know, whether it's positive feedback on things that we're doing right or constructive feedback on things we can do better. We're always excited to see it every morning.
Thank you so much, Jason. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, JJ. Appreciate it.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.